This is the GCN Radio Network.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next half hour, they're going to be those of Stephen W. Mosier, who's written a book on population control, the real cost and illusionary benefits. And Stephen is, of course, the president of the Population Research Institute on the front lines of this battle. Stephen, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on the show again, Dr. Stan.
Well, it's always a pleasure. This is a great book, and where will we begin? I think maybe the first place we should start is if you talk about this illusion of the explosion of the population, that we're all going to be standing on one another's shoulders. Is that really true? Are we having this tremendous explosion in population?
No, in fact, people don't realize it, but birth rates are falling everywhere, and they are falling faster than anyone ever imagined possible just 30, 40, 50 years ago. Of course, in the 1960s and 70s and going on until really quite recently, we had the myth of the population explosion. Even today, the social science textbooks, the history textbooks, the biology textbooks talk about population doubling and doubling and doubling again until we're at tens of billions of people and we're packed together as tight as sardines in a little tin can. And of course that's not true. It was never true in the beginning. We now know that the world's population will never double again. We're at 6.3, 6.4 billion right now. We're going to get up to about 8 billion in 2040, and then surprise, surprise, the population levels off and begins to fall shortly thereafter. We did have a one-time doubling from 1960 to 2000. And it's good to ask the question, why did the population double in those 40 years? Now, people imagine it's because people were still having large families, that people were breeding like rabbits, as we say. But in fact, the population doubled because we stopped dying like flies worldwide. We were conducting successful campaigns to reduce infant mortality and child mortality. People were living longer and healthier lives than ever before. Lifespans lengthened from 45 years on average worldwide after World War II to almost 70 today. And naturally, if we're all living longer, there are going to be more of us around at any given time. So that's why the population doubled. That's the big reason that lifespans lengthened, even as birth rates were falling, because death rates were falling even faster. So that's not something to bemoan. It's not something to despair over. It's not something to declare a crisis over and set up a world government over. That's something to celebrate. That's a victory for the human race, and it's something we all ought to be proud of.
Well, of course, one of the points that you make is the fact that Europe is really dying off. I mean, that's the amazing...
Well, the homeland of most of us, Dr. Stan, is based in Europe, and... I mean, I'm of German and English and Scottish and Irish heritage, and it saddens me when I look at those countries and see the people there averaging only about 1.3, 1.4 children, every couple having fewer than the two children they need to replace themselves. Italy and Spain are even worse shape. They're averaging 1.1. So is Russia. Russia's losing almost 1 million people a year if you add the Russian population loss to the Ukrainian population loss. All over Europe, from Ireland all the way to European Russia, every European country is in dire straits. The birth rate is well below replacement. Populations are dying. And I mean that literally. I mean filling more coffins than cradles each year, more people dying than being born. And you cannot have a successful civilization. You cannot have a thriving economy. You cannot have a vibrant society when death is just around the corner.
And, of course, the thing is that we're not hearing this from other sources. This is why I think your book is so very, very important, and why we'll certainly be carrying it and encouraging people to read what you have to say. We'll be right back in a moment. Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Have you ever suffered from Giardia, food poisoning, heavy metal poisoning, arthritis, fatigue, or high cholesterol? Maybe you're one of the 75 million Americans that the Center for Disease Control reports as suffering from internal parasites. If so, Freshwater Organics is proud to introduce you to a million-year-old miracle that has been used all over the world by health-conscious individuals seeking alternatives to chemicals and drugs. FPP, or fossilized phytoplankton powder, is a 100% natural, organic product with absolutely no additives. When taken daily, it is an excellent source of natural plant-based silica with 14 trace minerals. Many believe it is the key to a healthy digestive tract. To find an FPP distributor near you, or to buy it now online, go to www.freshwaterorganics.com. You can also call toll-free at 888-949-3570. That's 888-949-3570.
For just a moment. Well, Dr. Stan, Stephen was simply telling us about the tragedy that's unfolding in Japan as the population is growing older. They do not allow or encourage immigration. And many of the older people, who maybe have one child and no grandchildren, they'll actually rent a family for a weekend, or they'll even buy a little robot, a robot that looks like a child, because they so desire to have grandchildren, and there just aren't any. Could you develop that idea just for a moment?
Well, and of course, there's another straw in the wind in Japan, and that is that because there are so few young Japanese, there's no one to staff the rest homes, the hospices, the old age centers, the retirement homes in Japan. And so there are Japanese companies now talking about opening up retirement homes in the Philippines, where there are lots of young people, because the Filipinos are still averaging about 3 children. The Philippines, of course, is the most Christian country in Asia. 90% of the population is Catholic or another Christian denomination. And so I find it very ironic that that 60 years or 70 years after the Japanese Empire tried to conquer the Philippines by force, they'll now be sending their very elderly soldiers back to the Philippines to be cared for by young Filipinos, because there's no one to care for them at home.
Well, of course, you talk about the population controllers. This is an organized, orchestrated effort that has sold us on the idea that the population bomb, if we don't do something about population, where we're going to be standing on one another's shoulders, and they can able to convince many of the people in our crowded cities this is true. But the reality is all you need to do is just fly over America, Australia, or Africa, as I have, and I'm sure you have, and see the boundless areas of, underpopulated area to realize that this is a lie. Who are the population controllers? Why are they so intent upon forcing population control, which is going to ultimately result in one of the greatest disasters society has ever witnessed?
Well, I think there are four different groups in all that are really behind population control. The radical feminists are among those four. The radical feminists, of course, who have no love for family and children, and who would like to get rid of probably half the human race, the men, they would be happy to see go away. Then you have the radical environmentalists who believe that people are a form of pollution. The human pox, they call us, after smallpox and chicken pox. They want to get rid of the human pox to protect the environment, supposedly. And they would like to see our numbers dramatically cut back. The population controllers like Paul Ehrlich, a biologist, a butterfly expert, would like to see a human die back as well. And then you have, I think, the wealthy, the very wealthy, who, by virtue of their wealth, believe that they're genetically fitter than the rest of us. And those of us who are relatively less well off are thereby less fit. And those ideas were applied to the United States in the 20s and 30s and 40s, and to some extent today. And it's applied, those same ideas are applied globally by the international elite. And I think the final reason is that, the international elite is happy to have, the globalists are happy to have and create and invent international crises. Because if you have a global crisis, real or imagined, and this is an imagined crisis, the crises of overpopulation, then naturally you need a global solution and a global government to administer that solution. So this is, I think, the overpopulation myth is one more reason, one more excuse to move towards a global government that would undermine national sovereignty and ultimately result in the erosion of our freedom.
Well, I've tried to think that I'm sort of an expert on population control, but I've learned so much from your book here. I was amazed to find out what had happened in South Korea, which has really been under American domination ever since the end of the Second World War. We still have our troops stationed there, but we invested a tremendous amount of money trying to force the South Koreans to have this population control program. Could you sort of elaborate on what they did there to force the South Korean people to limit the size of their families? Because to me, this was the most, not quite as draconian as the policies we seem to have been encouraging in communist China, but pretty draconian, this two-child policy in South Korea. Could you elaborate on that at all?
Well, in South Korea, of course, as people recall, we defended South Korea against the North Koreans and the Chinese Communist Army in the early 50s. And South Korea exists today because America provided the security for it to continue its independent existence. In a sense, at least in the early days in the 50s and 60s, it was a protectorate. To some extent, even today, is a protectorate of the United States. South Korea, Taiwan, for example, another protectorate. And so those countries became kind of guinea pigs, if you will, for early population control efforts. The idea at the time was, if we want South Korea to develop, if we want Taiwan to develop, we need to stop the South Koreans and the Taiwanese from having children. Because if we do, then we won't have to build new schools, they won't need new hospitals, women can be drafted into the workforce in large numbers, and will jumpstart economic development. That was the idea. You sacrifice fertility for economic development. And, of course, that turns the truth on its head, because economic development itself is the best contraceptive. You don't need to force down the birth rate. Once an economy modernizes and urbanizes and industrializes, the birth rate plummets anyway. And the long-term problem is not too many children. It's too few. And so we encourage Taiwan and South Korea down a road that has now taken them to barrenness. We now have in South Korea and Taiwan countries that have too few children. They have a huge birth dearth. They need more people. They need more young people to drive the economy forward, and they don't have them. South Korea had a two-child policy. I once talked to a senior official at a Korean embassy in Washington, D.C. He had two children. And I said, would you consider having a third? And he said, oh, no, I can't. And I said, why not? He said, because if I have a third child, I'll be fired from my job.
I'll be fired from my job if I have a third child.
You cannot work in the government, he said, if you have more than two children. They will terminate you. So it's not as well known as China's one-child policy, but it was a policy enacted nonetheless with U.S. encouragement, with U.S. funding, and it has worked to the long-term disadvantage of South Korea.
And the points that you made really were amazing to me, that if you had a third child, that third child couldn't get health care. Had a third child, they couldn't get any higher education at all.
Right.
They were to be punished for having that, for that child being born by withholding the programs that were available to everybody else. So, and of course, as you mentioned, of course, if you worked for the government and you had a third child, why you'd be fired. So
right.
All sorts of coercive forms of mm-hmm. population control. And what's been the end result of this? I mean, after all, it was wonderful that we were able to force down the population there in South Korea. We were able to dominate and tell them exactly what to do. And what were the benefits, ultimately, for South Korea?
Well, ultimately, of course, we have only succeeded in making South Korea poorer and older than South Korea would have been otherwise. Those millions of children who were... did not come into existence because of programs that we encouraged of sterilization and contraception and even abortion, took out a big segment of the population of South Korea and therefore crippled the economy. You know, every baby that's born makes a net contribution to the economy in the United States and South Korea and China and India. The contribution is different depending on how economically advanced the countries are, but in the United States, every baby born will contribute about two-thirds of $1 million more over the course of his or her lifetime than they will consume in present-day dollars. In South Korea, I haven't really done the numbers, but I suspect that South Korea, being a developed country, every baby born is probably going to contribute about $500,000, maybe a third of $1 million to the economy over his or her lifetime. And so by eliminating children, you're actually eliminating wealth. The population control industry is the only industry that deliberately destroys valuable assets. You know, we have GM making cars, we have Boeing making planes, and then we have the population industry destroying the ultimate resource, human beings.
And of course, you point out that in many countries, there are far more people, you know, in caskets than there are in cradles. In other words, the population is dying. Older population is going on, but they're dying off, but the children are not coming along. What eventually happened in South Korea? Do they think that this is a wonderful idea? We're so grateful to America for forcing this on us. Or did they eventually realize, of course, this was a total failed policy and then try to reverse it and find out they couldn't?
They've had to abandon the policy. They've had to abandon the punishments for having a third child. They've had to abandon the denial of health care and education benefits to families with three children. So all that's gone by the wayside. But you see, the problem is now the mentality of the South Koreans has been affected. They're not as welcoming of children as they would have been. They've now industrialized, they've modernized, and the birth rate is plummeting, as it would have anyway without these population control programs. And South Korea, within a couple of years, will be one of those countries that is filling more coffins than cradles. And so the long-term prospects of South Korea, like the long-term prospects of Italy and Germany and Canada and other countries, is not promising.
And, of course, you point out that in certain of the European countries, they're actually pleading with people to have children. They're actually offering subsidies to have a second child. You know, do anything.
Every European country has such programs in place. They give out, in Germany and Austria and Switzerland, they give out Kindergeld, which is a little check of $100, $200 a month for each child that you have. In Russia, they pay a bonus of $9,000 for every baby born. And there are long parental leaves in the Nordic countries. You can have a year off if you have a child from work, and you're guaranteed to be able to go back to work at the end of it.